Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
I'm Karen Borchert, and I'm the product manager at Phase 2 Technology, and I work on developing the market strategies for all of the products that we develop and that we work with. So OpenPublish, OpenPublic, OpenAtrium, Managing News, and Tattler.
Okay, and so what does that mean to create and release a Drupal product? What is sort of involved with that in your job description and what you have to do with the developers?
Sure. With an open source product like this, there's a couple of things. So on the developer side, we work with developers to find out, you know, what they want and need in a Drupal distribution, which is most of our products are based as a Drupal distribution. And so we find out what the developers are looking for more in the things, different features, and which things will make it faster and easier and better. And then also on the end user side, all the way to the site administrators, you know, what publishers are looking for as administrators of news websites, what government is looking for, what people are looking for at the end, you know, at the very, very end of the day when they've got these sites up and going, what they want, and then kind of bringing those things together and back to the table to say, okay, how can we make this product the best thing it can be to extend Drupal as far as it can go and extend these products as far as they can go and get the most people using them.
Okay. And so what are some of the things that you have to sort of trade off? You know, you have some of this and not of that, or what are sort of the trade-offs or things that you have to sort of weigh whenever you're making these decisions that in terms of what goes in or what doesn't go in, or how to even market these distributions?
Yeah, so one of the things we do is kind of score features and components of these products on a lot of different scales. And one of the big, you know, trade-offs is it just awesome to build? Like, you know, if it's something that is awesome to build, really exciting, something new, that's great. But if that isn't actually also what the market, the end users are really looking for in that product, then we're going to have a problem. So it can't be just awesome. It has to be both awesome and truly a market need. It has to fill an actual space in the market that's not there. Otherwise, just awesome doesn't cut it.
And so having been involved in this space for at least a year or two now with Phase 2 and their various OpenPublish and Tattler and other distributions they've been offering, what are some things, lessons that you've learned in ways that hasn't been going right, or failures in a way that you sort of learned from and sort of adapted and changed now that you have four or five distributions now?
Yeah, I think the number one thing, honestly, we've learned is to really, really listen to what the market wants first and foremost, and that it's not about what we can build. It's not about, you know, people are doing amazing things in Drupal, and they're going to continue to do amazing things in Drupal. What matters at the end of the day is what's going to get used, what people are actually going to use day to day. So a really, really deep distribution, you know, functionality-wise, that's just got, you know, more than you can possibly ever use. You know, if it doesn't get used, it just doesn't matter. Whereas something that meets the top three or four needs of the market it's trying to serve, that's what matters. That's what's important. So we've been learning how to, you know, really look at the features that we're looking to build and the components that we're looking to build from that perspective of, you know, what's going to absolutely get used tomorrow in the distro.
And so since you have four different products, maybe you could kind of go through and say what are the top three needs each ones are serving.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Okay, all right, let's see. Well, we'll start with OpenPublish. So OpenPublish is our distro for online news. And I think the top things, one of them is workflow. Every newsroom has a different workflow. Every single newsroom does it differently. So a customizable workflow that can change as the newsroom changes. Now that newsrooms are going from print to online, their workflows are changing every day. It's really, really challenging for the newsrooms in general. That's a big challenge in a CMS. They've got to have a workflow that matches their newsroom on the ground. Monetization, obviously, every newsroom needs to figure out how to monetize their content, or, you know, where they can gate it and where they can't, and how to deal with advertising. And then I think just connecting content to other things. So, you know, we use Calais for this, and it's, you know, I think it's a really big part of why people like Open Publish is that, you know, that really rich semantic tagging allows people to really stay on the sites longer. It's a big deal in the news world. So those are three big needs there. Open Public is our government distribution. Obviously, some big, you know, challenges all around on the government side. Number one, security. You know, it's a completely different world once you're in a government website and you're building one to make sure that your site and your data and your information is as secure as possible. And that takes some special retooling on the other side. That's really important. Open data, this administration has been very clear about their interest in every government site being really open with their data, not only getting that data out there, finding interesting ways to actually do stuff with it is just huge, you know, and show it, you know, visualize it and that kind of thing. And then the third one, I think, is just Open Public's an interesting one because while it's an open source distribution, it really needs the collective collaborative spirit to come around it because it can't just be one group's effort or one very small group's effort. It's taxpayer dollars we're talking about. And when you're starting to deploy that on government sites, we can't have, you can have a bunch of competing distros around a lot of industries. What we really need on the government side is a really huge collaboration front that allows people to build the things that they need for these sites and do what they need to do without replicating and without, you know, reinventing the wheel on this stuff. So that's my third one on that. Open Atrium's our new, newly heading up Open Atrium collaboration tool for groups. I think that user interface is huge. You know, it's got to feel really intuitive to the groups that are using it because this is very often largely not a technical group of people that are using it. So this is where great Drupal design comes in. It's where usability comes in. I'd say, you know, usability is almost 1, 2, and 3 in Open Atrium because it's just got to have the features that make it easy to add people, easy to build groups, easy to find things, easy to prioritize things. It's everything. It's all about, you know, in my opinion, ease of use and really, you know, that same kind of supporting the people that are doing things with it. And then Tattler and Managing News are two distros that have, they have some common roots in the kind of news aggregation and data aggregation space. And I think, you know, what we're trying to learn about with those right now is really to figure out how to handle that level of data that comes in on these feeds and that comes in on these things. That's something that's a challenge no matter what. So we're trying to figure out how can this be the most useful for its end market? You know, is the end market other newsrooms and reporters who, you know, we have a lot of reporters who use tools like Tattler to really follow the things that they're writing articles about. And then we also have people that on the government side who are using Managing News to really manage all of the feeds that they have about their things that are important to their district or things that are important to their constituents. And so really figuring out how to bring that data into a really manageable piece, not only for the end user, but for the site itself, for the administration of it itself. Those are probably kind of the big things there. So those are some highlights of what the market of all these products is looking for. But I think that, you know, there's some commonalities there. You know, there's some big questions around data. There's some big question and how to, you know, manage it well. And there's some, you know, big questions about usability and how to make things really simple for site administrators to get through and do. And, you know, honestly, a lot of these sites are just trying to keep people on their sites for a long time, whether it's news or, you know, elected officials trying to keep their constituents coming back every, you know, week to see what's new in their district or with their elected official. So, you know, finding ways to engage and re-engage and re-engage site users is kind of central to all the products.
And so part of the having a product is having an actual business model around the revenue stream that's coming in. So there seems to be the product and then the services that are around the product. Since it's an open source distribution, you can basically give your product away. So then are you directly interacting with sort of the business aspect of the services, or, you know, maybe just talk about like that workflow in terms of like how you are in connection to the other side of this coin, which is actually getting revenue for these products?
Yeah, well, you know, and it's not like those two things are very far apart from each other, because, you know, what drives the ability to build and build these products is whether or not they are able to be part of our revenue and not just part of our expenses as a company. So revenue, yeah, it's a huge part of my job. And you know, there's certainly really interesting things happening in services around open source products generally. Obviously, as the, you know, open source software, you know, industry kind of matures, we're starting to see some really interesting things happen. You know, clearly we're seeing lots of things in terms of hosting and all of that kind of thing out in the space. That's not our space in this. We're starting to see, you know, we've always done consulting around and, you know, kind of customizations and custom implementations of these products, and that's what we're good at. We've done that for a long time. We've done big customizations for clients for a very long time, and that's what we'll continue to do. What we're also starting to see is a real interest on the developer community for support from the people who are maintaining or who built the products. You know, the people maintaining the products know it in and out. They know every single bit of it. So we have a lot of requests for help and support from developers themselves, you know, and even shops themselves that are using these tools to deploy sites for their clients. And that's an important part of this ecosystem. You know, there's room for shops of all sizes here. And, you know, being able to provide support, education, you know, all of that kind of around to, you know, the various levels and sizes of shops here is important to us, you know, because it, frankly, it pushes the distros forward too. Every single time somebody deploys a site on one of these distributions, they come back to us and they say, hey, we had problems with this or we had issues with that. That's huge. That's enormous for us in terms of knowing what needs to happen on these products in the future. That's what gives us that data about what the market needs. So keeping these, you know, these distributions freshly used is really important. So we're trying to do everything we can to support the shops that are doing that. So that's a big part of it. You know, as we go forward, we'll see what other revenue models emerge in the market, what other things are the market's looking for. You know, what we always say is we're not going to force anything that nobody's asking for. you know, it's really, for us, it's been a matter of what people are asking for and responding to that need quickly. And that's what we're trying to do.
And it seems like one big issue that people would come up to if they're on an existing CMS or have their own sort of data migration issues that they have in order to get onto the product that you're putting on. So are you also helping people migrate onto these platforms, or is that something they have to take responsibility for themselves or hire a firm like Curve, or maybe talk about like the issue of just getting onto the product?
Sure. Well, so, you know, getting onto a new product, you know, it can be a really big or a really small question, right? You know, it kind of depends on where you're coming from and where you're trying to go with it and how much you want to do it all at once. We have been bringing people on, you know, from existing legacy sites onto the products for a long time. It's something that we have largely done at a larger level in terms of site size. But we also, you know, certainly understand that that's an important part of sites of all sizes. So we will offer offerings that help people give their developers, either if they have developers, give developers the ability to get the sites on and configured and everything like that. And if they don't, you know, then either us or some of our partners can provide kind of the full implementation services to really get them up and going. We have a lot of just, you know, obviously really informal, but we just have really wonderful relationships with shops that are great at this stuff and, you know, are kind of in all parts of the country and world and all parts of sizes of jobs. So we really rely on the community around us to do this.
And so maybe talk a bit about, you know, the challenge of scaling out your company to be able to handle all of the service needs. I know that Development Seed as a company and a culture didn't want to necessarily expand and grow their company and start doing those tasks. So what types of things do you have to do at phase two in order to sort of grow your company and expand in order to sort of handle the incoming flood of requests and support?
Sure, it's a good question. You know, the process of scaling a company is, you know, it's got as many challenges as you can possibly think of in a day. You know, it's everything from saying, okay, how do we really work with the best of utilization to make sure that we are can respond to all of these requests in a really timely way without having a whole bunch, you know, folks on the beach for too long. You know, that's an important component, and really, you know, right-sizing the people component is a huge challenge of any organization trying to scale, and probably a huge challenge of a lot of the organizations here that are, you know, looking at scale in different ways. So that's a big one. I think, you know, making sure that we have the right mix of not only skill sets, but also like the right mix of people on is really important. So, you know, we have started doing so much more design in the past couple of years. because the sites and the kinds of requests that we're getting are not just for, you know, can you get us up on this product? It's, can you get us up on this product? We really want the site to have a, you know, really fresh new look and a really fresh new everything. You know, it, then there's, you know, the pieces of it that are about migration and the, you know, really, you know, some of that kind of stuff. And then even, you know, that supporting the site after it's done and that site too. So all of those sites are important to trying to figure out how to grow the whole pie, and also how you change the size of the pieces within it is important. And then I think, you know, another part that is really challenging for any organization scaling is, you know, how to keep your head ahead of the game while we're, you know, while we're responding to the what we have in front of us on our plate today. So, you know, once you start to get bigger, it's frankly like, I mean, it's just it's just harder to be more responsive and quick and ahead of, you know, the trends and that kind of thing. So you really have to focus on it. Like, you have to have people who are focusing on staying ahead of trends, watching what's going on, finding out what the market's looking for, finding out what people are doing and how they're extending things. That is way easier to do when you're really, really lean. It's way harder to do when you've got, you know, a number of projects going at once, a number of people working on different things. So I think just staying really spry and ready to respond and ready to kind of get ahead of the curve on stuff, that's a challenge of any scaling organization. And then, you know, if you don't meet that challenge, you won't be scaling for very long. So, you know, it's vital. You've got to stay ahead while you're staying in front of the things that you're doing right now. So I think those are all parts of our challenge, that, you know, just like any scaling organization.
And is that part of your job description, to be on the sort of cutting edge of looking at these larger trends, or is that someone else in the company that's responsible for that?
It falls into onto a lot of our plates. Obviously, you know, our partners and the folks that speak at a lot of these events and that are really involved with a lot of these things, that are really the thought leaders in the company, or that's, you know, thought leadership is a big deal in our company. You know, staying, you know, at the head of these things and really learning what you need to learn, and while, you know, being authority and things that you really, really know. You know, we have people writing books about Open Atrium, and we have people, you know, speaking about design all over the country and that kind of thing. So we have some really great things that go on that are not anybody's one job. Like, you know, the director of staying on the cutting edge does not exist in our company. It's really more about our company culture. You know, our culture is focused on saying, okay, you know, let's not just be great at our job today, let's be great at this in the future. So those kinds of things are just encouraged company-wide, that thought leadership and the innovation and the, you know, What do you think we really need to work on? Do we really need to, you know, do we really need to explore mobile? Okay, who wants to explore that? And who's, you know, working on that? We do, like, learning seminars every single Friday, if, you know, for lunch, where the whole company comes together and just learns about something new. And that's the whole point of it, is to keep us feeling, you know, like we understand what's going on and what, like, we know what's going to happen in the future.
And finally, maybe you could talk a bit about the biggest pain points that you see either in Drupal distributions or as Drupal products that you've sort of run into that you're kind of struggling with and working on possible solutions or just have to work around.
Yeah. Well, you know, you touched on a bit earlier, you know, you can build the, you know, the greatest distribution on the planet, but there's only so much time and energy you can invest into a Drupal distribution before it has to pay some dividends back in some way. You know, and whether that's services or support or, you know, some kinds of licensing or however, whatever it is that makes a Drupal distribution work, you know, you can really only reinvest time and energy in it if you can afford to do so. So finding the ways for there to be a really viable market and marketplace around Drupal distributions is really important. And, you know, that could mean a million things. But what we know is that you can't have four or five or six distributions that are just everybody's pet project. You know, you might be able to have one distribution if you're a shop that's occasionally got people that, you know, have some time on their hands. You might be able to develop one. But even so, you can't support and maintain and grow that distribution and that product. Like, the products and distribution thing has to be, you know, as central to what you do as a company and to the revenue that you bring in as a company as anything else. It can't be a side project. It can't be the fun, cool little side R&D that you work on when you get to. It can't work that way if there's going to be a viable marketplace for it. The pain point overall is that, you know, you see these Drupal distributions and they're just, some of them are just incredible. You know, and we just, you see what's out there, and some of them are really just amazing in the community, like really amazing. But what you have to look at is, okay, you know, how is it going to, like, how are people going to really, really use this to do their jobs? And, like, we want people to be able to use these products in their shops and in their, you know, to do what they want to do with Drupal. And we want them to have all the tools that they need to do that. But at the end of the day, we have to be able to support exactly what they need and that all of that research. So, and that's what any Drupal, that's not just us. That's anybody who's running a Drupal product or distribution has that exact same pain point. So finding where the community is comfortable with that, you know, and it's always a challenge. You know, this is very kind of cut and dried when it's not open source software, you know, because you can sort of, you know, license and charge up anything you want and nobody bats an eye because it's not open source. Well, in open source, you know, there's a different ethos here, and that ethos builds amazing products. But then developing the right kind of economic models around those products becomes its own challenge. I think it's a challenge that when this community meets it, will make a stronger economy around Drupal than if it was all, you know, it's easy to license, you know, to just license everything and call it yours. What's hard is, you know, finding ways to really build value and deliver value and get revenue back around something that's open. And that's, I don't know, I think, like, yeah, it's a big pain point, but it's a whole reason I work here. So.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much.